We had a great time at Bible school. You guys got a glimpse of that today. If you weren't here, you got a glimpse of that, and you got to see what, get a taste of what that was like. It was pretty awesome. Got to see kids hearing the good news of Jesus. We got to hear about how Jesus, in the twists and turns of life, Jesus is the game changer. So as I was thinking about this long before VBS week, I was thinking about, we're doing this summer series called the Summer in the Psalms. I was thinking, what psalm do we focus on this morning? So long before VBS started, I'm thinking, what psalm do I want to focus on? I prayed through that, and I kept coming back to this theme of praise. Now, we can find praise all throughout the Psalms, but where I was drawn to was the very end of the book, almost the end of the book, Psalm 145. So that's where we're going to be hanging out today, in Psalm 145. You may turn there on your Bible, or turn there on your device, Psalm 145. We're going to read that here in just a second. You're going to hear a few different kid themes throughout the message today, because we're just kind of recapping and filling out our week of Bible school, bringing it to a close. So for the sake of this message, I've titled this message, God is Great, God is Good. Some of you might be familiar with that when you think about that. You might think, as a kid, you may have said that blessing over a meal. God is great, God is good. Yeah, okay, you're with me. All right, some of you are with me. Yeah, let us thank him for our food. Yep. So, that God is great, God is good, that really sums up this verse, this chapter 145 of the book of Psalms. So, I want to read it. I'm going to read its entirety. So, hang with me. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise to the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145. So this psalm, Psalm 145, was written by David, as was many of the psalms. But this one in particular, in Jewish tradition, was one that was repeated twice in the morning and once at night. Can you imagine that? And can you think about that? Think about everything that was just read, and think about repeating that three times a day, and the value that might have for you. Reminding, and you know, when I think about that, and I kind of ask the question, what am I repeating over and over every day? What might you be repeating over and over each day? Is what you're repeating over and over, is it reminding you of who God is and how amazing his love is for you? Probably one of the best equivalents to this, I was thinking about this and say, how do we do this in our culture today? And maybe you do exactly that. Maybe you have a scripture that you repeat every day. But for a lot of us, this might be, in our culture, it might be music. What do you listen to? What's filling your mind every day? I got to admit that when I have gone through a whole series in my life, a series of listening to secular music, to listen to Christian music, to worship music, to talk radio, to podcasts, to sermons. I mean, I've listened to that spectrum. And I must say that when I'm listening and repeating things that describe and remind me of the character of God, it is a blessing to my soul. It is good for me. It has been helpful for me. It changes my attitude. And that is one of the key things that we do in our VBS program as we try to do things that will help our kids remember the goodness of God. We teach them great songs. Aren't they great songs? Thank you, by the way, Jesse, for writing that first one. Love that. Stick with them. This is awesome. We want to do things that help our kids to capture the goodness of God, the greatness of God and who he is. And it sticks with them for many years to come. That's what's interesting about this psalm. This particular psalm was written in an acrostic pattern. What does that mean? That means it was that each phrase of the psalm would have been written to start with the first a letter in the Hebrew alphabet sequentially down through. That's a pretty cool thing, I think. When I think about that, I think about, now there is an issue, if you look through that, there's an issue with one of the letters, but it's, for the purpose of this, is a sequence of writing to help people remember. And this also stands out to me because this was the last psalm that David wrote. Kind of the climax of his praise to God, and he wanted to make sure people could hold on to that. So this would be similar. Think of this in this idea of writing it, you know, like in the ABCs of our world. What else do we do that with? We do that with other things. We like to use acronyms or acrostics and so forth. So we would use the word grace. You might have heard this. The word grace stands for what? So people have taught me this over the years. God's riches at Christ's expense. Just a simple way to look at grace. And it's not perfect. It doesn't embody all there is to know about grace. We'll never be able to embody all there is to know about grace. But it gives us a simple thing to remember. And I think that's what we see happening here in this psalm. Now, since I don't know if any of you here have a Hebrew Bible or know the Hebrew alphabet, but I'm assuming that most of you don't. So for that, it makes it a little difficult for us to walk it through that way. So I've chosen another way that we can look at this psalm with some ways that might help you remember. And I've chosen to use directional cues for you. So, and each of these directions should be present in all of our lives. So, sorry, worship team, I have to erase my little note to you. But we will start with our first directional cue. Okay, you see that? Our first direction is upward. Okay, upward. This psalm opens and closes in an upward direction. David declaring praise to his God. I'm going to reread verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, his greatness no one can fathom. I love how personal this is. David uses personal pronouns here. He repeats the word, I will, multiple times, and then he uses the word, my. And as I look at this, and as I try to put myself in that spot where David would be, I almost get at this feeling that David is in this spot where no one else exists in his mind but him and God. It's that personal. And he's able to posture himself in a focus that just pours out personal praise upward to his God. He even calls him, my God, the King. Which is really interesting since David is the king. But David understands and recognizes that God is the true king over all earthly and spiritual power and dominion, including the king over David. David also uses words like exalt and extol. You think of these words together, it means to lift up or to highly praise or to enthusiastically praise or to glorify. Even more so, it means to praise above all else. Nothing is above God. And he goes on to say that this praise would be forever and ever. He's not just saying, God, you're king of the hill for a season. Anybody ever played king of the hill when they were a kid? Okay, got a couple of people playing king of the hill. We used to do this all the time at home and on the farm. Dad would get a load of stone or something on the farm, and we kids would play king of the hill. Whoever could stay on top the longest was king of the hill. So all the rest of us had to try to knock the person off the top. So you'd go up there, and you climb the hill, and you knock the person off the top, and you take over the top of the hill. You proclaim yourself as king of the hill, and it lasts for about 3 seconds until somebody else knocks you off. That's not what we're talking about. God is not just king of the hill for a season. God is king for all eternity. In today's vernacular, we love to use this word and attribute it to a number of people, especially in the sports world right now. People love to say that someone is the GOAT, right? You with me? So in a sense, David's kind of saying that, except for, so the GOAT, are you familiar with that term? It means the greatest of all time. Okay, another acronym, acrostic here, greatest of all time. The problem is that God's outside of time, so that just makes God the Goa. The greatest of all, right? That's who God is. He's the greatest of all. Verse 3 declares his greatness. It says it's so great that no one can fathom. We could talk about the greatness of God. We could talk about it all day long. When I say that God is great, I wonder what comes to your mind. Think about that right now. When you think about God is great, what comes to your mind? We could list elements of his character or his actions or his promises or his position. We could declare his power and his majesty. Or your mind might go to the creation of the vast universe, the heavens and the earth. Or maybe you go to the ark and the flood, or the prophecies that were fulfilled and yet to come, or the virgin birth, or his amazing grace and his mercy, or maybe the depths of his love and his willingness to go to the cross and be raised from the dead. We could go on and on. Or maybe your mind goes to where our VBS teaching went this week, and that was to the holiness of God. This is one of the most important elements of God's character, because if he were not holy, he could not be God. I want to read you a quote from Bible teacher R.C. Sproul. Listen to this quote. He says, "Holiness is the characteristic of God's nature that is at the very core of his being. Only as we encounter God in his holiness is it possible for us to see ourselves as we really are. The view of God represented in Isaiah 6, 1 through 4, leaves an individual with a deep sense of awe at the greatness of his majesty. Listen to this. To be indifferent is impossible for the Christian when confronted with the holiness of God. The practical life of the Christian flows from the vision of the God of holiness. Now, if you're not familiar with Isaiah 6, I think most of you are, but let me just recap that real quick. This is Isaiah's vision of the Lord, and he sees the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple. And there are seraphim there, and there's above him, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And Isaiah's response is, "Woe is me. Woe is me." As we truly see the greatness and the holiness of God, we are driven, should be driven, to a point of praise from our inmost being for what he has done for us. For who we are not, but yet what he has made us to be. Should drive us to that point of inner praise to our personal God. As you go through this psalm, you'll see lots of other praise points too, but this idea of personal and upward praise is like bookends on this chapter 145. David started with it, and the last verse, verse 21, his final words in Scripture, David brings us back to this personal and endless praise upward to our God. He says, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord, and let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." So our first direction is upward. Giving praise to God from our inner being solely up to him. So now it's time to change directions. We're all guessing. Which way is he going? The next direction is downward. When I think of downward, I'm thinking about who God is and what he has done and how he has brought that down to us. And as we start to understand what he has done for us, it reflects back our praise to him. I want to read some verses again from chapter 145, and I'm just going to pick out some pieces that talk about what God does for us. So listen, I'm starting at verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous and in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all and loves them, but all the wicked will be destroyed." Wow. That is quite a list. And it's only a short list of the attributes of God's amazing character. I mean, we can literally do an entire sermon series on each one of those points through there. But for today, and I believe even for the purpose of this psalm, this is to be a high-level view, a high-level reminder for us. So I want to take a quick pass back through that list as a high-level reminder for us so you're thinking about what God is doing for you, how God's character impacts you. Real quick, gracious. Wow. God gives graciously. We don't deserve it, right? God gives so much more than we could ever earn or deserve. Compassionate, merciful. Oh boy, if God was to dish out to us what we truly deserve, we would all be destroyed. But he is merciful to us. He is slow to anger. God is patient. He is rich in love. We could go forever on the depth of the love of Christ for us. He is good to all. God is good. He provides rain for the just and the unjust. He is good. With his hand over the earth, over all of us, we don't understand what it feels like to not have that if it wasn't for him being good to us. He is trustworthy. He keeps his promises. This is one of the key VBS themes this week, that God is trustworthy. He is faithful. He's always there. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We can always count on him. He upholds all who fall. He's there. He's there for you when you fall. He draws in close. He lifts up those who are bowed down. When I think about this idea of being bowed down, I'm not sure about you, but I think about this from being bowed down from heavy weight. Maybe you're carrying a load and you're bowed down. Maybe you're carrying a sin and you're bowed down. And what happens when we're bowed down? We have this look that becomes very center-focused. It becomes focused on us. But the Lord lifts the head of us when we are bowed down. He lifts our head, puts our focus back in the right place. He forgives. One of our VBS themes this week was about the forgiveness of God. He's our provider in his perfect time. He's our provider. He's near. He's not this God that's far off, just kind of like watching for you and waiting for you to make a mistake. He's near to you. He hears us. Wow. That's a real sign of love, honestly, to be heard. He saves us. Praise the Lord. He watches over us closer than a brother. He's our protector. He's our righteous judge. Like, how's that fit in there? Isn't it nice to know that we don't have to be that person? That we don't have to be the one that carries out the judgment on others? That we can release that to God? And allow him to be the righteous judge? And to know that even for us, he will be the righteous judge? That's freeing. So let me ask, from this very short list, how does that match with your view of God? I know that for me, sometimes my perspective can be skewed and I need this a little bit of a realignment. And this reminder is just that. I can see the value of repeating this 3 times a day. It'd be helpful for me, I can tell you that. Because it's easy to get distracted and life is difficult. We deal with hard things and we even see things around us that seem out of sorts. But this provides a great reminder to us. So, time to switch directions. Inward. The next direction is inward. And honestly, this is where the struggle takes place. We must all wrestle with this tension of who God is and what he says versus how we feel and what we believe. There's a tension that's always around us in that, of who God says he is and what he does versus how we feel and what we believe. And like it or not, this is a good tension. This is where faith is strengthened. This is where solid foundations are built. This is where trials become blessings. But what do we long for? We long for resolution, right? But we grow in tension. You can ask the guys who were in our men's connection group this spring. There was a number of times that we were contemplating questions, and I left them. We left the session in tension. The main reason for that was because I didn't have the answer, so we had to just leave it. We had to leave it on the table. But honestly, isn't that the reality of our life? That most of our questions are not just straightforward questions. Most of them don't have easy answers. It's a tension that we live in. A tension about things we're trying to discern. A tension about the struggle of who God is and what he says versus what we believe and how I feel. It's this tension we constantly live in. And honestly, as we go through that journey to try to find, to answer questions that come in our life, actually take us on a discovery that probably help us to answer questions that we didn't even know we had to a whole deeper level. In verse 5 of this chapter, we read, I will meditate on your wonderful works. This is a key verse because this is how we deal with attention. We meditate on his wonderful works. This involves more than just remembering what God has done for us. It goes deeper than that. It's an ongoing search, a careful, sometimes a planned approach even, a processing with others, whatever it might take. And as we continue to grow, and we continue to mature, we continue to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves even growing deeper in wisdom and understanding. In VBS, we talked about this idea of going to the next level, or we said level up, we kept saying this week. And for those of you familiar with games that have different levels of difficulty, you can understand what this is like. So you're a beginner level, you're stepping into a game, and you're trying to figure it out, and you're working on honing your abilities and your understanding of the game. And when you finish that level, you then can advance to the next level. And in that next level, that's open to new discovery and new information, new understanding. Well, I want to encourage you today in your Christian walk to embrace whatever level you're on. I want to say this is not a competition. This is not a race. We're not competing against somebody else side by side in a game. It's not a race that way against one another. But to embrace the level you're on and continue to walk in it. And along the way, this is an ongoing journey. You're going to find that you're going to get through this level, and it's going to prepare you for the next level. And you're going to learn more about God and who he is and understand how that applies in your life. And you're going to be able to handle the next level that comes your way. And the levels keep coming. They're always there as long as we have breath on this earth. And the really cool part is there's people around us who have actually been through the level before sometimes. And that's a pretty cool thing if you can actually connect with somebody who has been through that level to help you maybe navigate through that level too. God has given us a family for that purpose, that we can help one another along. Remember the VBS theme. It says, in the twists and turns of life, Jesus is the game changer. Okay, enough of the analogy about the games. Sorry, I'll get back into some other things. But as we meditate on God and his wonderful works, and we acknowledge this transformation is taking place, it should always move us towards a desire to reflect praise back to him, a desire to serve him, and a desire to follow him, and a desire to share him with others. If you remember the blessed practices we did last year, it was a study we did as a church, and this was the driving force behind all of it. We studied it together, and it was another acronym here, BLESS, begin with prayer, listen with care, eat together, serve in love, and share your story. This idea of coming along those around us, our neighbors, and loving them in a very practical way to where we can share the gospel with them. We did that last fall for the whole church. We're going to have a class again on this fall for those who are new to the church or if you missed it last year. So that's just coming up. Just wanted to let you know. We also taught this in VBS this week because we learned that Jesus was worth following and that Jesus is for everyone. Okay, well, that leads me to our last direction. Wow, that's terrible. Don't judge me on artwork. Outward. Outward's the last direction. We're going to go back to verse 4. Read some excerpts from 4, chapter 4, or from verse 4 and some following verses. And you heard this today from Jesse, which I loved. One generation can commend your work to another. They tell of their mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Your faithful people extol you, and they tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all people may know of the mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The greatness of God was never meant to be something that is embraced and then held as a secret. It is to be proclaimed and to be celebrated with joyful singing like we did this morning. That was awesome. Love the joyful singing. Certainly had a lot of that this week, which was really cool. Verse 4 describes it, how generations sharing with one another. And I love how I was this morning, this idea of generations proclaiming in both directions, proclaiming in our generations down to our younger and up from our younger. That's awesome. I love that Emmanuel Church is made up of multiple generations, and we can all learn from each other. Those of you who have walked in the Christian faith for a long time can tell amazing stories of God's faithfulness. Those who are new to the faith, some bringing a real fresh excitement out of the move of God. I love that. We all can benefit from these testimonies for one another. This is why we love doing baptisms here at Emmanuel. The testimony of a transformed life proclaimed to all of us to be able to hear and to be able to be part of is refreshing for our souls, good for our minds, good for our hearts, and it's proclamation to all those, both believers and non-believers, who hear. But it has to happen outside of just church meetings. I have one more quote from you from Charles Spurgeon from the 1800s. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says back in the late 1800s. I consider that one of the greatest lacks of the church nowadays... Okay, keep in mind, he's saying nowadays, meaning in the 1800s, okay? I consider that one of the greatest lacks of the church nowadays is not so much Christian preaching as Christian talking. Not so much Christian prayer and prayer meeting as Christian conversation in the parlor. How little do we hear concerning Christ? Now, some of you are asking, what is a parlor? Anybody ever have a parlor in their house? Some people have a parlor. A parlor is that place where you have conversations. The place where conversations takes place is an inviting place in a home. For here, it could be our reception area, so it would be a great place for that, the parlor. You could think of that as a parlor. You might think of the parlor as a coffee shop or maybe a fire ring in your backyard. It could be wherever you gather with friends. So Spurgeon is saying that people talk about Jesus from the pulpit. They talk about Jesus in prayer meeting. But outside of that, we tend to not talk as much about Jesus. And he says that's what the church lacks. Another quick insight as to what's happening this fall. We're going to be doing a church-wide study this fall on gospel fluency. And I love the tagline for gospel fluency. Here's what it is. Speaking the truths of Jesus into the everyday stuff of life. That's pretty cool. Speaking the truths of Jesus into the everyday stuff of life. You'll hear more information about that this summer, but that's going to be a place for all of us to get involved with, a place where we can actually incorporate Jesus into our normal conversation, into our parlors in our house or wherever we meet with people. Well, back to our text. I love the intent of this outward expression of praise. If we look at verse 12, we're going to see a very key focal point of these verses. And here's what it says. So that people may know. So that all people may know. Brothers and sisters, we carry around the most amazing news. And we are not to hoard it. That is not your job, is to hoard that news. Your job is to get that news out. We are to share it in all of its glory to all people, so that all people may know the greatness of God, the good news of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. To be clear, this means to be proclaiming that to Christians, brothers and sisters, but to be claiming that to non-Christians or not yet Christians, not yet believers. Here's what I want you to think about. I want this to be on your heart. What God has done for me, I want to see him do in you. Man, if we would approach our life that way, what God has done for me, I want to see him do in you. I have this amazing thing, this amazing news that God has done for me. And I want to see that for you. For the praise of my God, the King. We've been talking about this praise. We've been talking about what God's doing for us. I want to actually make this and give a personal example of this, a place for you to connect on a personal level. And I'm going to invite Drew and Grace Brown to come up. Here's some microphones for you. So many of you know Drew and Grace. And many of you have been touched by their lives. What you might not know is that today is their last Sunday with us. They're actually making a move this week to the state of Indiana. And it's not because of a job change. It's not to try to escape the humidity of central Pennsylvania. It's nothing like that.
I grew up in Georgia. You can't.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. But this is more guided under an understanding that Jesus is worth following. And that Jesus is for everyone. So, tell us, what's the step you're embarking on? Some people don't even know. So, give us a clue.
So, taking a big step back, when we first got married, I remember Drew at one point saying, "I feel a calling to go to a mission field of some sort." I really thought he was kidding because I am not the go to Africa kind of girl. Fast forward about 5 years ago, we came to Emmanuel just utterly spiritually and emotionally broken. And we found so much healing here. The Lord has done such a work in our lives. And we now feel like it is time for us to take that gift and spread it elsewhere.
That's beautiful. So you're spreading it elsewhere. Where is elsewhere? Tell us a little bit about that.
So, yes. If you remember Kyle and Brittany Thomas, one of the pastors here, we're actually moving to within a couple of miles of where they live, and we're just going to be members of their church and to help with having a culture of healing in their church is our goal, as well as being able to use the blessed practices for our neighbors, just a mission field of our backyard. Excellent. And you talked about having a fire pit, like, our new house has a fire pit in the backyard.
Does it have a parlor?
It will be.
So you're talking about this 5-year journey. which got pretty intense in the last 6-8 months, whatever. So give us a little bit more of what happened, what's come, how you've come through this decision about making this move to Indiana.
So last summer we went to visit Kyle and Brittany, and I've done some itinerant preaching, and I would come back from that, and as we're driving home, like, hey, honey, I can see us living there. And she'd say, no way, no how. Coming back somewhere in Ohio last summer, she said, you know, I really could see us living there, to which I said, who are you and what did you do with my wife? But we thought about it, and like, well, can we do this? And we started to commit it to pray. And we started praying about it. We asked people to pray with us. Like, Lord, if this is your direction, then you got to make it plain. And one of the challenges we had was financial. I don't make a lot of money. And so the idea of buying a house in today's economy, like, there's no way we could afford that. Well, the Lord answered that prayer. And then he kept bringing people in our lives. This is where you need to go. This is where you need to go. And just closing doors and opening doors just again and again. We'd put out the fleece, and he'd answer. We'd put out the fleece, and he'd answer. So here we are.
And you're moving this week.
Yeah, this week.
Packing up the truck on Wednesday and...
Either Wednesday night or Thursday morning.
And driving out. Okay. So this is beautiful what you guys are doing, but how can we pray for you in this process?
Well, first of all, we have a 500-plus mile trip with a huge moving truck and a cat who hates being in the car. So pray specifically for those two things. One, that the cat will be sedated well. And two, just for safety, as we won't be traveling together. He will be in the moving truck, and that gives me a lot of anxiety that I'm not with him. I'm going straight out because I don't want to have to sedate the cat more than once. So just pray for those two things very practically, and that the Lord would give us easy beginning opportunities to practice the bless. Sure. As with our new neighbors. We've already begun praying for them when awesome. We remember.
Awesome. We're also looking, like, I remember praying about this 3 to 6 months ago, like, Lord, provide us a house. And he has. Like, it was amazing to me. This is definitely a movement of God. Our house sold in 3 days. It probably could have sold faster than that. And we bought a house. It was listed on Thursday. Our offer was accepted on Sunday at less than asking price. Tell me that's not a move of God in this economy.
Amen.
That's amazing. So our prayer is that we would get settled in and find ways to work right away, and that our girls would make friends quickly, which I know they will. But they'll feel comfortable in their new environment, and the whole family would be involved in this, because I've seen enough families move because dad's going for a job, or mom and dad have some idea, and the kids just struggle along with that. But we've seen our kids growing and seeing their faith grow as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys connect what we were just talking about here today, we've been talking about through BBS this week, was this idea that Jesus is worth following, and Jesus is for everyone. You kind of hit on that a number of different times. I just want you to put that all together here one more time.
So we were talking about that as a couple and with the kids, and Rosie said it rather succinctly. Jesus is worth following to leave all of, or most of the friends that we know, and most of the things that we know. I'm like, wow. Amen, kiddo.
Amen. That's awesome. And he's for everyone. And you guys already have this plan. You already have a mission. You're already praying towards it. Love what you're doing there. And you be able to connect with Kyle and Brittany in the process and be able to join in with them and lift them up too in the process. Just very excited about what you guys are doing there.
We're excited to see the church out there grow. Talia said this. Grace and Anna did their recital for their music students. And I had the job of handing out, you know, the program, and my secondary job was holding it together, standing out on the foyer, and she said, you get to do this all over again out there. You get to make another church family out there. And so again, thank you.
Well, you guys are definitely part of our family. We brought in new members this morning, and we're sending members out today. You guys have jumped in completely. You have made connections. People have joined to you, and that makes it's a difficult separation, I understand. But we want to bless you guys as you go out. So I'm going to have you guys go down here and bring in your two beautiful girls. Bring them up here too. I'd like to have the elders come up around Drew and Grace and the family. And I'd also, if you would just love to be part of this time of prayer over them, you've been touched by these guys, they've impacted your life, I'm welcoming you to come up. Come on up, and we're going to join together the church and pray over them. But you're welcome to gather around them, gather around this family. There's still more coming. And there's more that are not here today, too, that would be here, I'm sure. So as a church, would you all join us in prayer? Harry Craven's going to pray over ascending blessing over the Brown family for us.
Lord, we come before you, the great I Am, and you are the I Am for whatever we need. And we have seen and heard the testimony of Drew and Grace, and even of how they related their daughter Rosie has looked forward to this and seen your hand in every step of the way. So, Lord, we give you praise and thanks for that tremendous testimony that we can all benefit from. See how you are sending us out to be a blessing. And, Lord, we know that Kyle and Brittany will be blessed by this couple being in their congregation. And so, Father, we've heard their requests for safe travel, especially for that cat. And, Lord, for the friends that Abby and Rosie will be making, in spite of the fact that they've had some great friends here, we know that the children of Kyle and Brittany are great friends already, so I'm sure that makes a big difference. And so, Lord, we have benefited so much from this family being part of our Emmanuel family. And we send them off knowing that the family that they will become a part of will be blessed. So, Lord, we can just give you praise and thanks for your love for them, and how you will use them to bring more into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you all just to stand. I'd just like to pray over all of us before we leave here today. Thank you, God, for this opportunity just to be in your house as a family worshiping together, receiving together, sending together, proclaiming together the good news of Jesus. Lord, this has been a blessed day, and we just want to give praise back to you, God, for what you have accomplished here at Emmanuel, what you've accomplished as a big outreach of all, way beyond the walls of this church. And now, Lord, even to Indiana and to others who have gone to other places all around the world, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in your church. Lord, help us as we take this time to, even throughout this week, to take this time of upward praise to you and inward reflection and downward receiving of what you have for us, inward reflection of what you are doing in us and through us. And Lord, as we go outward to the world. So Lord, would you bless us in an amazing way? Would you bless this for your glory, not for our glory, not for our numbers? That's not what we care about. We care about the kingdom, Lord, and we care about souls who will be going to a Christless eternity without you. So Lord, would you send us out in your good blessing, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. You are dismissed.